Welcome to another episode of Nerdtween and Movie Podcast. I'm your host, Nerdtween. Thank you so much for joining me. This is episode number 85, and we're going to be doing something a little different to what I've been doing as of late. I'm going to kind of go back to what I did a lot initially, which was comic book reviews. Oh, what a surprise. I'm actually doing comic book reviews again. I'm really excited. I have some really good, two really good titles that we're going to look at today. And I'm really excited to talk about them. But first and foremost, I do want to say, if you enjoy multi-fandom content, whether that's comic books, movies, horror, all that good stuff, that we're going to talk about independent comics a lot on this podcast because they don't get enough attention, and especially horror. So one of the books is a horror book, as well as we'll talk about just horror in general and indie comics. But yeah, if you like that, give me a follow here on whether it's Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Junkie, Nerdtween, pretty much everywhere. So just give that a look up and you'll be able to find everything. Okay, so let's talk about indie comics and why they're so important and doing so well right now, in my opinion. It's because, and I've said this numerous times in this podcast, it's really all about the fact that indie comics are not proven commodities. So they have to be better. They usually have to have better art and better stories in order to maintain the ability to continue printing them. It's not like with Marvel or DC where you can do 300 Batman runs, one doesn't work, kill it, and start a new one. Same thing with Spider-Man. You know, you can just do a whole bunch of horrible Spider-Man runs. People are still going to buy them because it's Spider-Man. But when you look at indie comics, they don't have that luxury. And they often have to be that much better just to even exist at all. So the indie comics do really well. That just means they're that much better. And if you look at especially horror indie comics, look at all the stuff that James Tynion is doing with Something's Killing the Children. He did The Closet, The Slaughterhouse, which is a Something's Killing Children spinoff, Department of Truth, Dracula now, which I have an exclusive, Mike Walsh, limited to 1,000. You can get that in the link in my bio, so definitely take a look at that if you're interested. It's a pretty awesome cover. And then you got like World Tree, also have a cover of that, Alan Kwa, limited 333. So if you want to check that out, go ahead and do that as well. But horror comics are something that don't get enough attention, as well as just horror in general. I've been watching the Chucky series that's on Sci-Fi, and I've been wondering why these hate groups that normally try to cancel shows for having any type of non-traditional standard movie actors in it, because Chucky has there's two of the main characters are homosexual, and then you have non-binary, you have a lot of different things that would make a lot of people normally freak out. And I don't remember hearing anything like that with Chucky. Maybe it's because it's a horror, and if you have a voodoo possessed homicidal a serial killing doll, I guess you can kind of let everything slide. Maybe that's the case. Or maybe it's because horror just doesn't get a lot of attention because it's not for everyone. Not everyone can watch horror. Pretty much anyone can watch a comedy. Pretty much anyone can watch a drama. Stuff like that. But horror is not for everyone. So I, as someone who love horror, not only, in entertainment mediums such as movies and TV shows, but I love comics and books even, I would like to start giving a spotlight to those great titles that you might not even heard of, whether that be a movie or a TV show or a comic book. So today what we're going to do is we're going to talk about two books. The first one is a horror book. The second one is a superhero book, but in a really awesome new way. So first up is Horus in Hell. Okay, so Horus in Hell is a new series I backed the Kickstarter, actually. So issue one, I just read it. It was on Kickstarter, had 348 backers and almost over $10,000 pledged. Congratulations to this entire team. As someone who's running a Kickstarter right now and who's just barely over 2,000, I can only imagine how it feels to have that. Now, granted, mine's just an ash can. It's just one cover. So, you know, to have multiple covers and have 348 backers, bravo. Well done. Absolutely masterclass. I'm a little jealous. I'm proud. But Horse in Hell is an independent comic book series, which is a spinoff from a Pocus Hocus, which are both from Source Point Press. It is written and created by Alan Dunphy and Will Radford, who also worked on Pocus Hocus and Grandma Chainsaw, which I spoke about on this podcast before. Fantastic title as well. The interior art is done by Kit Wallace, who does Good Boy, which is, if anyone listens to this podcast ever, knows how much I love Good Boy. I also have a Good Boy exclusive, an Ivan Tao exclusive, but whatever, not neither here nor there, as well as many other titles. He's really fantastic artist. The letters and design is done by Dave Lentz from Good Boy, Felix the Cat, Pocus Hocus, Grandma Chainsaw, and I actually tried to get him to be on my Here Walks Monsters, but he was way too busy because he's that talented. And I've always stated, anytime I've ever done a review that Lens has done the lettering for, I always have to make a point to show how good it is. His lettering is just absolutely next level, and it takes a life of its own. And it does that for every single series that I've ever seen him do lettering for, and just bravo to him for that. So Horus in Hell follows a pink demonic rabbit named, you guessed it, Horus. Horus was once a general in the Hell's army and a pretty badass one, but found himself in servitude to a magician, and a pretty awful magician at that, not in terms of skill, but in terms of human being. Very drunk, and even with, you know, the warnings, he didn't care, just wanted to bring more monsters in, just like he did with Horus. It's kind of like if you took a Saturday morning cartoon and turned the violence level up to 11 and made it for adults. That's literally what this is. And I'm very impressed with Kit Wallace's work, as always. It's just so striking what he always is able to do with colors. Have a horror title like this with a pink rabbit, don't call him a bunny, as a demonic leader of Hell's army. I mean, it's great. I'm very happy that I backed this backed this Kickstarter campaign. Like I said, I read it today once I got the books in, and it's great. I'm gonna be looking forward to Horus number two because it was. There's a nice little cliffhanger. I don't like when I do my reviews, I try not to do any real spoilers or anything even remotely spoiler territory. So let's just say it's a bloody fun, good time where the main character is a badass demonic pink rabbit. Tell me you don't want to read that. I mean, it's one of those things that you look at it as, wow, how original. You know, this is a spinoff from Pocus Hocus. He is a magician, and he literally just, Horus is just fighting in the army of Hell, leading people covered in blood, and then all of a sudden this hand comes into the sky and pulls him out and brings him into the magician's world. And, you know, it's weird because he initially, the rabbit is, you know, 100% like, I hate everything here and this is horrible. But like, you can tell how honorable that he is, regardless of him being demonic, because someone asked him to protect Hocus Pocus and he said he would. So he did, even though he protected him against something that Horus specifically told him not to do, you know, and he basically cleaned up his mess without a second thought. Well, I guess it was a second thought, because he was like, I'm not going to do anything. And he's like, damn it, I said I would. And then he ends up protecting him. And there's a really nice twist, little cliffhanger at the end of this book, which makes issue two like a necessity. So I definitely am going to be looking out for Horace in Hell number two. This team has definitely found something here, and I'm totally, totally here for it. All right, so that's Horace in Hell. Make sure you go check that out. From Source Point Press. Great title. I'm looking forward to seeing where this story goes from here. All right, next up, we're going to talk about Tights. I actually, I don't want to say I was contacted, but they had a post on there, like, hey, anyone want to review comics? I'm like, I do. So they sent me the issues 1 through 3. It's printed through Lesser Known Comics. If you don't know about Lesser Known Comics, they're a small indie press that focuses on really letting the creators create and treating them like humans. Really awesome company. And to be honest with you, I'm probably going to reach out and see if I can work with them in the future on one of the titles. I'm doing my zombie comic book, but I have more than just that. I want to write multiple stories in different genres too. So I'm definitely going to reach out to them and you know, see what, if something can be worked out. But right now, issues 1 and 2 are available on the Lesser Known Comics website. From what I'm seeing, issue 3 was part of a Kickstarter campaign that has not been released on the on the actual website. So, you know, I'm going to get some more information on that. And I'm actually going to try to get the writers, the creator on here, this podcast, to ask some questions. Because I when I tell you, I love this title. It is honestly reminds me of my book because it has all these pop culture references. You know, it kind of makes fun of the genre while being true to it. Like this is a superhero style comic book where there's a lot of superheroes that are kind of reckless, and it follows a judge who rules in a courtroom with these quote unquote tights when they mess up. And then he ends up finding himself basically through a series of ridiculously unfortunate events, basically becoming what he's been ruling against his whole time as a judge. The writing team, the team is creator and writer Chris Wagano, interior and cover A by Edison Neo, design and letters by Reed Hinckley Barnes. So the synopsis is, when a judge is blackmailed by vigilantes into saving San Francisco, he finds himself becoming the very thing he hates most, a superhero. And when I say, like, I enjoy so much comic books that are based in real worlds. Like, the very opening part of it, a superhero comes up and it's this dude who looks like a fat version of John McClane, even spitting out John McClane lines and doing the tape gun on the back, you know, to the T. And they even call it out, like, is he really doing Die Hard? Like, and I am a big fan of that, because while it's, you can argue it's not quote unquote original, because you're using source material to place your point, you're making the characters more real and more relatable. Like I said, that's how my comic book is literally a world like ours. So there are pop culture references, much to this in Tights here. And I definitely got to give kudos and props there, because that's something that I think is not in a lot of comics these days. And I kind of like it that way, but I definitely recommend reading Tights. It's kind of like, the way I look at it, it's kind of like The Boys if all of the superheroes were like over their head type thing. And you know, it's definitely a interesting story that's weaved together. You have different people showing up in different parts of the story that all weave together, and I truly respect that to the utmost degree, because that is not easy. I, you know, when you're trying to write a comic book, especially if it's not just like a one shot or you know, like a trade, it's an actual ongoing series, you got to keep everything so in line, and you got to keep everything flowing. And when you have to introduce or reintroduce a character, you shouldn't have to explain it because the story should kind of dictate why they're there. So show versus tell. And that's something that this book does really well. I remember when I first looked at it, I was like, wow, they're 38 and 26 and like around 30 to 35 pages each. And I'm like, man, these are going to take a while to read. It didn't. It was so... such a blissful read, or briskful, even if you want to go that route, because it was quick. Like, sometimes the page count doesn't determine how long you have to read it, and this book did a really good job of keeping everything. And granted, I've read issues 1, 2, and 3. I appreciate you guys for sending this over to me to read. I had a blast reading it, and I'm definitely looking forward to this story going forward. I'm definitely going to try to get the creators on to talk about this book because I'm a huge fan right off the bat. And again, when we talk about indie comics, a lot of times the better ones are not superheroes because superheroes have all been done so many times. There's only so many ways you can do a superhero in most cases because they've been done for 80 years already. This is a fresh take. I really enjoyed the, like, almost looking at superheroes as liabilities, like they should be in a lot of properties. You saw it a little bit in the MCU and in Marvel with them taking accountability for all the stuff they destroy when they're saving the planet. I really like how, and again, I keep saying this, when you set a comic book in a real world setting, I think it just adds so much layers to the property because you can kind of almost, when you're reading it, you kind of think of, when you look at characters, you're like, man, I know someone just like that. When you're looking at something, fantasy or like true horror where it's like vampire slayers and stuff like that, it's kind of hard to identify with a vampire slayer. Granted, there could be traits of that vampire slayer that, that could identify with, but like, you don't know how to, you've never slayed a vampire, but someone who's gone to a mundane job and bit off a little more than they can chew and have to, and everything they do just makes it worse and worse and worse. And, that's something a lot of people can relate to. And that's something that indie comics do very well. But usually not in the superhero side. This is different. Tights. While it does have superheroes, it's not a superhero story. Now, granted, with the events of issue 3, that can very much well change, because as it says in the the description, he has to become that very thing that he hates the most, which is superheroes. I can't talk up enough how much I enjoyed reading these 3 issues. Again, like I was saying, when I first looked at it, I'm like, man, this is going to be a couple hours of reading, doing all this stuff, because I'd have to follow everything. No, this was just a joy to read. I was so happy to go through all 3 issues, 1, 2, 3, like that. They just did a Kickstarter that got fully funded, and it was issues 1, 2, and 3. I definitely think this has a crap ton of potential, and it could definitely be something that I can see a studio getting behind type thing. When you look at, you can especially, the only thing I'd wonder, and I wonder about this with my book potentially getting optioned as well, how hard it would be, how many hoops they'd have to jump through to use some of the pop culture references. Because, a lot of times you can get away with it when it's considered, when the story is either comedic or fictional or stuff like that. A lot of times you can get away with it because of, free use and things like that. So I think it's a little bit different when it comes to on film, but that's something you deal with later on after someone actually wants to pay you to make a movie or TV show based on the comic book you wrote. But yeah, this definitely go check out Tights. It's from Lesser Known Comics. They're on Instagram, TikTok, I believe, as well. And I know for sure they have a website. I'm going to have it in the description below. So definitely go check out. They got a lot of great titles. This is just one of their many titles. I definitely am going to be looking into this publishing house, and maybe, like I said, maybe even work with them in the future. But I definitely want to at least talk to them. Like, hey, can I just like interview and review all of your comics? I'll do them all. Every last one of them. But yeah, this is a very fun story. If you're looking for an indie comic that is a superhero related story, this is the one for you. Definitely I'm gonna look for issue 4 when it comes out. They got a big fan. I'm definitely happy that I was able to take part in this and read it and do a little review. I'm also gonna do the individual issue review on my TikTok and Instagram stuff. So we'll have that a full breakdown of each issue as well. But this is just something that I read them and I was like, this has to go on this episode. I can't even wait to talk about this. So here we are talking about it. So go check that out. Tights from Lesser Known Comics. Definitely a good pickup for you. So now that the comic book reviews are out the way, I do have to do my pitch for my independent comic. It is the Ash Cans, called Here Walks Monsters. It is a story about the fall of humanity set in a zombie apocalypse. It is very much a human story, more so than a zombie apocalypse story. While that is an element of it, this is really more a deep dive into how sick and twisted humanity can get if society was no longer telling them what to do. It has 2 days left, 3 days left on the Kickstarter. It is 100% funded, so we're good there, which is awesome. And I can't thank everyone who has assisted me in whether it was promoting it, backing it, word of mouth. I shared one post, liked one post. If you've done any of that, or even looked at it, just saw it and was like, all right, this is cool, but not for me. Fair enough. Anyone who interacted with this Kickstarter campaign, it's my first one. This is my first comic. I have a lot of friends who have done this kind of stuff, and you know, they were all kind of telling, a lot of them were telling me, be wary, you know, it's hard to get that first one funded. And you know what? I was worried initially, you know, that it wasn't going to get funded, and I would have to call in all the favors I had to get it funded at the last second, which is thankfully something I don't have to worry about, because I have a great support staff, I guess, if you want to call them that. There's people who've really been want me to succeed, and either by backing it or sharing it or, you know, telling people about it, you know, whatever you did, you all mean the world to me. You're my day twoers. People talk about, yo, you my day one. Day ones, people are people who are there from the beginning because they were just, you know, in your neighborhood or at your school. Day twoers, these are the people who literally see what you're doing and decide to follow you and decide to help you achieve your goals. Y'all day twoers are all going to mean so much to me when we move forward from this Ashcan issues 1, 2, 3 and beyond. Because this is going to be a long running series. It's not going to be 3-4 issues. I'm thinking minimum 100. And I know, as someone who's not with a publishing house, I'm out of my mind for even thinking I can pull off 100 issues. But I'm going to do it. That's just all there is to it. Now, could there be, you know, a distribution deal or maybe something along down the lines? Possibly. But at this point in time, I want 100% creative control, 100% everything, and not even about the profits from it. I just want control. I want to be able to decide exactly what goes in the comic, who's on the covers, and all of that. I have to have all of that. And if I can't, then I'll just keep doing it independently. But when it comes to this book, this is a comic book that I've now adapted from a novel I was writing, and, you know, to sum up a long story short, I lost the initial book when it was stolen from my my house, from my computer, my external hard drive, and I found later the roadmap, and then decided to retool it, and then I started seeing Martin, his work on Instagram, and I just knew that like I wanted to do this zombie book. It was gonna be black and white. And he worked mostly in black and white, you know, it was gonna be some red as well, you know, because for the blood and stuff. But like, man, when we got together, it kind of just took this whole thing to the next level. And, Tyrone, when he came on as well as a letterer, he's been a huge instrumental part in getting this out, as well, not only for, you know, lettering the book, but his expertise in because as someone who's already printed their own comic before, he's been crucial to this becoming a real thing. But man, I'm just so lucky that Martin agreed to listen, because initially when I told him I wanted to do a zombie comic book, he even told me this later. He was like, man, I was really apprehensive. I didn't really want to do just another zombie book. And then when he read the script, he realized it wasn't just another zombie book. This is something different. I'm going to boldly say that this is a refreshing new take on this already historic genre, and focusing specifically on zombies. You know, there's only so much you can do that hasn't been done already, but guess what? I've got some tricks up my sleeve that's going to be pretty freaking awesome. But yeah, if you're interested, there's a couple more days. I'm going to be appearing on a few more podcasts leading up to the final day and close of the Kickstarter campaign. I've set up with a print shop who's going to facilitate the ash cans and probably all the rest of the issues that come out. I've got my own rep. I can, you know, talk to someone directly, talk about how we're gonna get the prints done, and, you know, quick reach. I mean, there's a lot of moving pieces that are literally falling directly into the right places. Now, would I love to, you know, raise a little bit more money so we can do even more stuff? Absolutely. But we've hit our goal. So that is all I really needed. Anything extra we get is going to go straight into the next issues. I'm already talking to a couple artists and trying to get MegaCon exclusive so I can get my first ever convention exclusive with my Ashcan. So that's something that I've got in the works. Issue one, there's going to be opportunities for exclusive covers if anyone's interested. And I'm also very happy to appear on podcasts after the fact. I've set up a few of those that because I have to admit, I wasn't as prepared as I wish I was when I set up all the interviews. That was done way too late. So I only had a few before, you know, the Kickstarter actually runs up, a total of 4. I should have had 30 to 60, you know. And so if you have a podcast, comic book podcast, horror podcast, zombie podcast, The Walking Dead podcast, The Last of Us podcast, anything along those lines, and you're interested to interview a hip indie creator, I'm your guy. But yeah, this has been an incredible journey. And I'm so happy that I've been able to be at this point. There's a lot of things that tried to make this not happen, and we still push through. Like I said, as someone who, this is my first ever Kickstarter, I had no business having it funded and doing as well as I have. You know, a couple of my friends who are doing Kickstarter campaigns, they're not having the same success as I have. And that's, you know, and I've said this on, you know, on my friend JJ's podcast. By the way, if you also like indie comics, definitely go check out JJ's comic stuff YouTube channel. He has a new podcast with his good buddy Longbox Entertainment called The Indie Inkwell. I actually appeared on the very first episode to talk about Here Walks Monsters, so definitely go check that out. But I have this big time imposter syndrome where I don't believe what everyone's telling me when I'm doing something good. But you know what doesn't lie? Numbers. And my imposter syndrome is getting its absolute ass kicked by that Kickstarter campaign and that 100+%. It's 107% funded at this point. You can't argue with numbers. And, you know, next week is, you know, Thanksgiving. You know, there's so many political and, you know, humanitarian issues with Thanksgiving, whatever. I have so much to be thankful for. If you're listening or if you're watching this, whether it's live when it drops or on the replay or down the road, who cares? I don't know. It doesn't matter. Thank you. I'm thankful for you. If you've backed my Kickstarter campaign, looked at it, shared it, I'm thankful for you. If you make indie comics and are actively trying to put great stories out into the world, I'm thankful for you. You know, there's been so much, and I mean so much, negative shit going on in the comic book community, both on here, whether it's YouTube, TikTok, whatnot, all of this stuff. I've stayed out of all the negative stuff because I just don't, I've got too much other stuff on my plate, you know, trying to succeed to, you know, like play into that. But I just want to spread some positivity out there. I'm very thankful for the indie comic community. I'm very thankful for the comic community that I've built, that I'm part of, on Instagram and TikTok, you know, the Crossover Comics family, Nerd Initiative, you know, everyone who I'm working with you for a reason. And I'm very, very thankful for you. And before I get too mushy gushy, I again want to thank you if you're listening to this, watching this later, like, share, subscribe, do all the good stuff for the algorithm. It definitely helps out, whether you believe it or not. Be on the lookout in the next few weeks. We're going to be doing a lot of stuff. We're going to have some Black Friday sales over on Junkie, as well as a lot of other stuff going on to Junkie, which is a social media collectibles platform, kind of a cross between TikTok and you know, like whatnot and those kind of buying apps. And then in the future, we're going to be dabbling. We're going to be sprinkling a little Kickstarter and Patreon style stuff on there as well. So definitely hop on Junkie and take a look at all the great stuff that's going on there. It's available for Apple and Android. But yeah, thank you all. I'm very thankful to be able to keep doing this. And until next time, stay nerdy, my friends.